Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning into The Collective Perspective, Reclaiming and Reshaping Theater, where artists from various identities, disciplines, and from across the country take a critical approach to the theater industry. If you appreciate the discussions being had on this podcast and want to support our creative activism, you can subscribe or follow us on Apple, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. To stay up to date with episodes, upcoming articles, and to get to know the collective better, please like our Facebook page, The Collective Perspective, and Instagram at TCP Theater Podcast. Reviews are always welcome, and please leave comments or questions, as well as send us an email at tcptheaterpodcast@gmail.com.
Yahoo! Well, hello everybody. I think I'd love to start just with introductions. Oogie, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I am Oogie Push, she, her, hers, actor, and starting to be a video content maker. Tuning in from St. Paul, Minnesota, land of the Dakota people, the right side of the river.
Hi, everybody, and I'm Sequoia Hawk. I use she, they pronouns. I'm a theater maker, filmmaker, director, stage manager, wearer of many hats. I'm also calling in from the land of the Dakota people here at St. Paul, Minnesota. And yeah, we're very excited to chat about today's episode. To start us off, I want to just share an intention that we're holding for today's conversation. Mine is to be grounded in the moment.
My intention is to anchor in love for this episode. Today is the day that everyone found out about Dante Wright, and it's a heavy day for us here in the Twin Cities, and we still wanted to record this episode and still come and speak with you, because I think it's important that we keep speaking up and we keep speaking out.
Yeah, Gritch, thank you for that. Today we'll be talking about Malavika Cannon's article, Perfectionism is a Myth, Unless You're a Young Woman of Color. Malavika is a young author who is grappling with the ideology that a lot of women of color feel that we must be perfect in order to succeed. So Oogie and I have pulled quite a few quotes, actually, from the article that we find interesting, you know, full of those nitty-gritty conversations that we will be discussing. But I'd love, Oogie, to hear just sort of your first thoughts about why this article piqued your interest.
Well, I saw this as an opportunity to speak to the next generations of storytellers. And it's always an imperative of a culture to pass on the knowledge that is held and lessons learned. So hopefully we don't make the same mistakes as we have previously, and to evolve in what we create and what we can offer as women of color.
Yeah, I feel very similarly. Thank you for that. And I think it's, you got to learn from our past to get better for the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oogie, do you want to start talking about this first quote that you pulled out?
Oh, yeah. So Malavika, she starts off with talking about getting her first B, and her first reaction was to mentally start packing her bags and retreat to the Himalayas, reject formal schooling, and become a female monk. And I mean, do that. I mean, your life really starts to blossom after high school. That is where you start to grow and really discover yourself. And, you know, I wasn't good in school at all, and I turned out mostly fine.
More than fine.
I'm fine. I mean, I've been able to make goals and just work towards them. And I've had so many of my dreams come true. Just pick a dream and work toward it, or say yes when the opportunity comes to you. But I would suggest taking time once the world opens back up to go on an adventure, go someplace that you have always dreamed of going. because that's where you'll find the parts of yourself that open up opportunities that you never thought would be possible. And as a writer and us as artists, we reflect life, but you can't reflect life if you don't experience it first. I mean, I lived in a tent in Haines, Alaska by myself, and I had always wanted to go to Alaska, so I went there. And I've always wanted to fall asleep listening to the crashing sound of the waves on the rocks. And because I went to Alaska, I had that. And it was the best place that I have ever lived. And it was an amazing experience. And I met so many incredible people who just accepted me into their lives and showed me what life can actually be like in Haines and living in Alaska, which taught me that life can move at a different pace, that there's time to stop and have a conversation with somebody and just see how they are and just to gather and eat good food and, you know, catch the day, and everybody has their banjos and there's just a jam session, and it's about community and family and taking care of each other. And I have so many stories from that time alone that I can share stories in a multitude of ways. And so don't think of it as a bad thing. I mean, honestly, I'm almost 40 and I don't remember anything really from high school. It doesn't really matter, because the education that I really truly needed was beyond high school. And I'm still learning to this day, every day, keep learning something every day.
Oh, no truer words. I mean, I think it's like, just for everyone, Malavika was 18 when she wrote this. It was written February 12th, 2019, and it was updated March 1st of this year, 2020. So I think when you're 18, you know, like it does seem, I know when I was 18, which again, it was not that many years ago for me. So I do actually still remember these high school things. Like I never got a B in high school because I was one of those people who also would never have gotten a B. If I did, I probably would have had a cry about it or whatever it may be, because I felt very much like it was sort of the end of the world. And I don't know why. I cannot tell you still to this day, like why that still sort of brings me. And even in college, I was like, oh, I only got a handful of B's. And I would look back and I was like, oh, I got kind of more than a handful of B's. And then I was like, thought bad about myself. And now I'm like out of college. I'm like, who even cares? It literally doesn't matter. And it's like, I don't know if it's our school system or just like, you know, this whole thing that we put on ourselves to be perfect or be whatever it may be. And like, we've said that A's are what perfectionism is, or this thing that we've decided is, and it really doesn't matter. Like what it is this going to Alaska and living by the ocean. Like that's what is more important than sort of these like colonized ideologies of perfectionism.
And then she moves on in the article and says, whenever I write publicly about my experiences, I can delve into issues that are personal, gun violence, racism, femininity, because I know that perspectives like mine are not often shared. The responsibility to speak for my generation is one that requires perfection. And she mentions a show I've never seen, Insecure, that speaks what it's like, or it nails exactly what it's like to speak as the sole representative for billions of people. Frustrating. I used to feel that way too. It felt like it was on my shoulders since fourth grade or so to educate white people about our culture. We would do powwow dance presentations and talk about our outfits and our daily lives just to show that we were people too. And I went on to college at Haskell Indian Nations University, where I got my bachelor's in American Indian Studies and learned the true history of this country and tribal government policies. And everywhere I went in the world, I always met someone who didn't even know that Native people existed, or they didn't know the history of boarding schools, or they didn't know about land grabs and genocide and all that kind of stuff. So it was like everywhere I went, I was having these conversations and just telling these stories and just sort of opening people's eyes to who we are. And it felt like, because I was the only Meskwaki around, that I had to sort of represent my people, not speak for them, but I know that these people that I interacted with, that I might be the only Native person that they've ever met in their life or maybe ever will meet in their life. And so it was important to be knowledgeable and humanize us and bring us into the present. And it was just, it just got too much. And then finally it got to the point where I was like, to hell with this. It wasn't until my, you know, mid 30s where I was like, I'm going to tell the stories that I want to tell. And I'm telling you now, don't wait that long. Don't wait as long as I did. Start telling those stories now. They're in you, like, from your perspective, because we don't speak for our people. Whenever now, when I tell a story, I say, this is my experience. This is what I think, because I can't speak for all Meskwaki people. And I'm a weirdo. I've never fit in back home. So I couldn't possibly speak for my people. But what I have found is that when I sit in the silence and listen to what wants to come out and be written, and I speak that truth as honestly as I feel it and I hear it and know it to be, that is what resonates with people, regardless of race. And yeah, I always preface it with saying, this is my experience, this is what I believe. And of course, I will be Meskwaki first, because that's where I grew up. And they helped shape my core beliefs, which informs my perspective and ultimately my creativity. But there's still the experiences that I've had in life are what makes my voice unique. And that's from the place with which I tell stories now.
I need you around constantly. No, no, like seriously, because I still like do stuff or make things, and I'm still like, oh, am I representing things good, or am I telling this how it should be? And I have to be like, stop, that's not how you should think. Like, this is your story, your perspective, just say it however you want to. And it's hard, like, I definitely get it. And like, I, you know, it's that whole breaking through the barrier thing of like your mind over whatever that is. That's why I'm like, I need a little oogie on my shoulders constantly.
You got my number, give me a call.
Okay.
And if you don't have my number, you can find me on YouTube.
True. I have watched your YouTube videos. They're hilarious.
Then she goes on to say, at 18, I know that it's unreasonable to expect meteoric success as a writer. Still, it's hard to shake the entirely rational fear that my writing career is out of my control. But earlier, before this paragraph, you stated this statistic that only 12% of children's books feature people of color. I mean, to me, that sounds like there's plenty of room on the market for you.
Mm-hmm. But 12%.
Yes, that means there's more of an audience for you, because people are looking for voices of people of color, especially women of color. And so, you know, see that as an opportunity. I mean, I read that statistic in this article and I said, man, I'm putting write children's books on my to-do list, because same. I got stories to tell. And, you know, I started my YouTube channel to talk to my nieces and nephews so I could certainly write some books. And, you know, there are so many amazing artists from the global majority that it'll be easy to find an illustrator. And it's not an obstacle. It's a great place to build something, to share your voice, share your stories.
Yeah, I mean, like, being the devil's advocate, I hate that term, by the way, of like, I get that 12% sounds like zero. But it, like, at one point it was zero and now it's 12%. Like, yes, I would love it to be 100% we're featuring people of color, but like, we're working on it. Like, if you want to write it, or you see such a small statistic, then be like, well, that's stupid. I want it to be 20% or I want it to be 50. So then you do it. Like, that's what those small numbers get me to do, is like, be like, well, then let's change that. Let me and six other friends write a book. And then there's that, we bump the percentage up.
Exactly. And I know the unknown, the future can be scary, but it's also the best part, because you don't know what's going to happen. And so all you can do is make the best of each moment and focus on what you can do right now in this present moment, and always be present, because the past is always going to be behind you. Unless you haven't dealt with your trauma, it's going to loop back around and try to suck you back in. But so you got to pay attention to the patterns in your life and decide if they're for your highest good, and if they bring you joy. And if they don't, make a different decision. Because I have found that when I am operating from my heart and from a place of love, I make the best decisions, and everything falls into place exactly when I need it. And if I act upon it and do the necessary work to get that thing.
You just gave me remember Marie Kondo?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, does this give you joy? If not, toss it. Like, this is the new thing. If you're not present and it does not, you don't feel love and joy, out of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here Malavika is referencing a quote from the TV show Scandal. And she's saying that it summarizes sort of perfectionism best with a quote that every woman of color has heard at least once in her life, which is, you have to be twice as good as them to get half of what they have. And I don't know if I've heard this quote word for word, but I feel like I have heard versions of this quote. And it's just like, for me, being a woman of color and just like a Native person, it always sort of was something that I was afraid of, like having to be as good as anybody else, like flat out, but then having to be just like, I don't know. There's always that stigma of like going, which sort of goes into the next point of like being a Native person first and then being everything else second. And I was thinking about that in the car earlier today before we were recording this, of like, how boring is it to just be a thing, like to just be a writer or to just be a singer? I'm so glad that I'm a Native singer, like that, or whatever, I'm not a Native singer, but so glad to be like a Native something, because it gives so much more context and history and life, love, joy into everything I do. And if I just had not that Native title to me, then I'm like, what would I even be doing? And that's sort of like based off of Malavika saying her identity is coveted, fetishized, and hated by society at the same time. She's fully aware that she will always be an Indian American writer first and a writer second. And like, that just sounds so, so sad. I'm like, I'm so sorry that you that way. I mean, I'm sure I felt that way maybe at 18, having moments of being like, ugh, why am I getting hired because of just being a Native person? Is this happened just because of that? But like, now I'm like, good, I better be. Like, you better like listen up when you hear that title. Because that's what I do. And I'm like, oh, this book was written by a Black queer woman. Great. I'm buying that immediately. I know she's got stories to tell.
Yeah, that quote, you have to be twice as good as them to get half of what they have. I haven't heard that, but I know that there have been instances in my community where a woman is running a department that she built from the ground up, and she was still targeted, harassed, and ultimately fired by men simply because she was a woman. But I also grew up with anything boys can do, girls can do better. Mm-hmm. It was this song we listened to on repeat. And, you know, I grew up working outside, you know, and having to do manual labor. I never felt that. I knew that I was come from a strong Meskwaki lineage. And yeah, Meskwaki first. And it informs every decision that I make, and it's how I walk in the world. And I'm proud to be Meskwaki first, because my ancestors survived genocide. They survived war. And I mean, we're still surviving missing and murdered Indigenous women. The fact that we wake up every day and can still create and speak and do what we need to do, like, that is a blessing. And if they're not going to stop killing us, we might as well rise up and share the gifts that we have, because they can't extinguish all of us at once.
No, they cannot. I feel like we should talk about the American Dream elephant in the room. So we're referencing this moment in the article that Malavika states that she says, maybe it's because I'm young, or maybe it's because I was born into the American Dream. But then she goes on to sort of talk about more perfectionism and her thoughts about it being a young woman of color. But what struck us was this idea of being born into the American Dream. Because I know Oogie and I have some heavy feelings about the word American Dream. And I know many people have some heavy feelings about the word American Dream. And I think it's interesting, actually, that she uses this term, born into it, because I would almost disagree that the American Dream is going against her, because she doesn't really fit in it. Because I believe, like a lot of women of color, and it sounds like she comes from immigrant parents, like are not uplifted by this American Dream idea. And especially being like a Anishinaabe woman myself, like the American Dream goes against everything that my people have ever wanted to do in life. It does away with everything that generations of my peoples ever have wanted to do. It sort of ruined the disruption that we have put into place. Or even just like, not even put in place, but just like, we were living here. And then people were like, hey, we're going to put this American Dream colonization, westward expansion, manifest destiny onto you. I don't know. What are your feelings about the American Dream?
The American Dream is built on the bones of my ancestors.
Facts.
It was never for us. America is stolen land. I mean, we're still here. We're still here. I feel like when I hear the American Dream, I see white men destroying the land, poisoning the water, poisoning the air. There's nothing to me that feels good about the term American Dream, because we're still struggling from the effects of genocide and forced sterilization, and we're still having our children and our women stolen and raped and murdered, and there's no American Dream for us.
No, and I really don't think there's an American Dream for anyone that's not a white man. Like, I'm even like, even at this point, I don't even know if the American Dream is a real thing anymore. I almost feel like I couldn't even define it. Like, I'm like, what even? Like, it's what you said. It's poisoning water and burying the past, which is horrible, and on top of ancestors' bones and constantly, you know, dripping oil into the world. Like, that's what people see as being successful. And like, I'm like, I know that's, Malavika, that's not what you're talking about. So can we all just stop using that term? I feel like it's dead. It's died. It hasn't happened anymore. Nobody benefits from it anymore.
I mean, I understand that we have benefits that not all countries in the world have. Like, not everybody here, but a lot of people in America have access to water and electricity and Wi-Fi. But there's still communities that don't. There's no American Dream. It's more like an American nightmare.
That's my next horror movie.
And I just gotta say, wake up. Wake up, people. Wake up from the American nightmare. It's time to wake up and get to work. Turn on your light and shine it on the world. Because we all have a gift. Mine is storytelling. What's yours, Sequoia?
I mean, when you ask me, I don't know yet. And I'm like, I'm glad you know. And I think it takes a minute. Like, I still think I need a minute to know what it is.
I certainly at 24 didn't know what my gift was. I was still looking for it. I was doing it. I just didn't know that was what my gift was.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's That's like the journey of growing and learning and experiencing is like you, we're all probably, I'm probably doing it, but I can't tell you what it is yet. Because I don't have the words or the thoughts or the full embodiment of it quite yet. It's still like, it's still the seed that's yet, it's like probably poking up, but it hasn't bloomed, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it quite is yet. But I'm like, yeah, everybody needs to sort of just like stop letting societal pressure and expectations and all of that shit like cause them stress or anxiety or whatever it may be causing you, and just like you do you, like literally you, whatever makes you happy, enjoy, do it. And that, you know, I'm taking away this like be present thing. Like, I think that's so important. So thank you for saying that, Uwe, because that is such a necessary thing that I need to know. I'm like a future person, sometimes a past person, but I forget to like breathe in the current moment of air into my lungs. And I think that's something I'll super take away from this conversation.
I think let's do that. Let's just take a moment with everybody that's listening, and let's just everybody sit up straight with your back straight, your feet planted, and just breathe in through your nose, send it down into your lungs, and hold it there for 3 seconds. Just and exhale. And inhale into your heart and hold it for 4 seconds. And exhale. And inhale one more time into your heart. And exhale. And just release whatever tension you're holding in your body. Shake it out of your arms. Shake it out of your legs. Tap your body. Get your blood flowing. Get your energy back up. Because we're on a mission, y'all. We're going to make this world a better place. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of you. So be you're a writer or a dancer, theater maker, or, you know, maybe you want to go into politics or grow food or become a lawyer. Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever that thing is that lights you up, that sets fire to your heart and compels you to take action, do that thing. They're not going to stop killing us. So we might as well rise up now, rise up and shine your light, and let's build a new world together. Because these systems that don't work anymore, they're crumbling down. They're trying to keep them propped up, but they're tumbling down. And in the meantime, it's up to every single one of us to do what we can do to build that new world, because we are the global majority and we can do this, but we got to do it together. And we have to do it from the heart. And it might take a while, but even the next generation, they're awake. They're awake. They just need to learn more about whatever the rest of the world and what they can do. And a lot of them know exactly what they want. Listen to your kids. Cultivate what that thing is inside of them. And I would say remove them from the public education system, because it's an old system that no longer works for the world that we're trying to build. And I say focus on that gift that your child has and get them to become a master in that thing that they want to do. And it's going to propel us so far in our human evolution, in our societal evolution. You know, we need you. We need you, parents. We need your kids. I mean, it's 2021 and we're not asking permission anymore. So do that thing that sparks your joy and your light, and let's ignite the whole world.
Chills. So this next quote is, right now, Malavika talks about she's working on publishing her first book. In the process, I find myself trying to outgrow perfectionism, which I recognize is a form of oppression against women of color. And it's so interesting because I constantly can be like, that's a form of colonization. That's a colonized thing, da da da. But for some reason, I had never put the language around perfectionism being an oppressive ideology or a colonized term for some reason. And I think it's because it was like held so close to me so much of like my life until recently that I've almost like forgotten about it. And so I find that so interesting that there's still, again, I'm just like barely almost 24. So when I say the younger generation is literally 3 years younger than me, but my generation, but like it hasn't stopped yet. Like, why can't we stop this oppression of perfectionism or colonizedness with these ideas that Malavika is like sort of talking about and identifying? I'm so surprised that for some reason it takes us outside of high school, outside of college, into like being a real human to finally like let all of that go. Why can't we start doing that earlier in our lives? Because I feel like we'd all be so much better off if we could just sort of let go of that earlier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like the idea of perfectionism is just like a way to make you feel like you're not worthy. I don't know. I feel like we're perfect the way that we are, like in the life experiences that we've had, and life isn't meant to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. Perfection is for life after Earth, because we are born here on Earth to grow and learn as humans. And evolving on Earth won't lead to perfection in our lifetime, or probably lifetimes after our lifetimes. And I think that's okay, because, you know, the only constant in life is change. And we're constantly growing, we're constantly evolving. And if we're constantly doing that, we're not going to reach perfection, at least not right here, not now on Earth. But in the arts, theater, painting, weaving, crafting, music, like there's no mistakes, only happy accidents. That's what I learned in grad school. There are no mistakes, only happy accidents. Because then you got to fix it, or it creates something that you didn't anticipate. And then it's just sort of like this magical happy accident.
The happy accidents thing, I will always remember that, because in like first, second grade, I had a art teacher. We were drawing trees, and all of a sudden, one of those like rowdy kids in the class like said something, whatever, and disrupted her concentration. And she made a huge line on the piece of paper, basically like straight through her tree she was drawing. And I just remember so vividly her like taking a moment and being like, what the heck? Like, me as a student, I was like, oh my God, what is she going to do? What is she going to do? And she was like, that's okay. I'm going to draw a tree house in my tree now. And it blew my mind, because I was like, oh, of course. Like, she just fixed it. She didn't yell. She didn't do anything. She was just like, oh, well, now we have tree houses. And then we all drew tree houses in our trees, because we were like, that's the thing we do now. And I will always remember that being a thing that like inspired me or whatever. Like, I just think about it all the time of like, it never, there, like, art is so great because everything is made basically because of mistakes. Like, that's where you get the cool, fun things that you never would have explored.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't get that if it's just perfection. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I feel like what needs to be perfect is your ability to come back to the present moment. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to find perfection, perfect coming back into the present moment and paying attention to what's in your heart, what's on your mind, and then create from there. And I would just like to add, if there is a publisher that can't accept your work with your voice, your style, they aren't the publisher for you. There are plenty of publishers out there. I mean, you could even start your own publishing company. It's 2021. We are not asking for permission anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Like a lot of throughout this article, I feel like she is nitpicking society, which like, thank you. But also like, if it makes you mad or you don't like what's happening, just make your own thing. Like you do it then. And I know that sounds daunting, but like, I'm sure it's not as hard as it seems. Like people, if some random dude can do it, like I'm sure any woman of color can easily sail by and kill it. Like, no
do
joke.
It better.
And do it better.
Facts. Anything boys can do, girls can do better. Okay. So she kind of wraps up her article by saying there aren't a lot of happy tree loving brown authors, but I want to be the first. I want to take up space literally and metaphorically. I want to write about racism and plants and magic and justice. I want to be a messy, multifaceted, well-developed version of myself, even at the risk of being imperfect.
This one got me.
Go ahead. You go first.
No, it got me because it was just like, what do you mean there aren't a lot of happy tree-loving brown authors? Like, maybe you're not seeing, like, the happy tree-loving, and maybe we have different definitions of that, but I'm seeing a lot of brown authors out there and writing a lot of diverse books. And I don't know, chalk it up to, you know, being young and haven't read a million things, and not that I have either, but it's like, it's more out there than you think. Like it really is. And I definitely know that it's not on, you know, the front New York Times and it's not on these things, but they do exist out there. And if you find sort of the people and the authors or the writers or the whatever it may be who are doing this, like I don't know. It's just so sad that like she doesn't think there are, because that's something that's like, I feel like ingrained in people of like, it's just all white authors out there doing things. And then she sort of is like, you know, does this whole, I want to take up space. And taking up space is like the literally, that's my be present mantra, is take up space. Like when I went to New Zealand for a study abroad with all new people, I had a friend tell me before I went, and she was like, hey, make sure you take up space when you're there because you deserve to, because we were going to be a lot around a lot of white people and whatnot. And she said that to me. And I remember thinking about it before I was like going to talk, almost like for the first so long I was there. And it really helped me because I was like, take up space, take it, your turn, you can talk. And I did it. And it like had literally changed my life. I was like, oh, if you just like talk and feel that your voice belongs in this space, so much better. Like, it's so great. You're not holding things, you're speaking. Like, I have that big problem still, but it's something I totally say to myself. And so I'm like, to, you know, Malavika, I'm like, do it, take up space, be messy, write the things, do whatever you want. Like, that is your time. And like, I mean, not that I need to give you permission, but I am giving you permission right now to do it. Like, to everybody, I'm like, please just be messy, do what you want to do. Like, don't care. And I know that, like, my mom told me that when I was growing up, and I was like, okay, mom, rolled my eyes. But now I'm like, yes, actually, like she should have said it 700 more times, because I would have maybe got like half of it in my head at that young age.
Yes, I will echo everything that Sequoia has brought up. Malavika, there are a lot of tree loving brown authors. I'm one of them. I'm not technically a writer. I mean, an author, but I'm a storyteller. And I am definitely a tree hugger. And I think the adventure of life and discovering new writers is a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And it's your journey to take. Just keep an eye out, ask around, Google hashtags. Search them. They're out there. And once you start searching, you know, the Big Brother analytics will pick up on what you're searching and show you more of them. So then they'll come to you. And as far as you know, you being a writer and your unique voice, you'll be the first you. You'll be the only you. And that is incredible and special. And I say take up that space, because the things that you want to write about, they need a lot of space, especially when it comes to magic. And because magic is only as big as the light you allow to shine out from you. The earth needs more voices like ours. And it's time to speak up. It's time to speak out. And it's time to do the thing that we're good at to birth in this new world, a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of interacting with each other. And Sequoia said it, life on Earth is messy. It's a messy place and you're going to get dirty, especially if you play in the trees. You're going to fall. You're probably going to fail, but you pick yourself up and you try again. You shift gears, you shift directions, and just remember that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So find perfection in remembering what a badass you are and a badass that you'll continue to be. You, all of you that are listening, you are a warrior of light on this earth, and we need every single one of you. So just, Malavika, keep writing, keep speaking your truth, and the universe will make everything else fall into place as long as you do the work, as you take action and do what it is that you got to do.
Period. After discussing sort of this article, what are thoughts or questions that we still have that are lingering in the world?
The only lingering question that I have about this article is, who's illustrating my children's book?
Oogie's available at our email, tcptheaterpodcast@gmail.com. Any takers? My question, honestly, is really at Malavika. Like, this was written in 2019. Like, I want to know how she's grown since this article was written. If I wrote an article like this at 18, and then now she's what? 21, like eons different.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in, well, I guess we were in a pandemic for most of that time, but, you know, what opportunities have opened up since high school? That's what I'd be interested. I need a follow-up article.
Yes, I would love that. I want to hear the great things you're doing. Want to read a book that you've written? To bookend this, do you want to share a reflection from today's conversation that you have?
Well, I definitely came in feeling a little heavy from today's event. Dante Wright, rest in peace. Much love to your family, and your mother, your girlfriend, your son. But sitting here with you all and talking about this and still having hope for the future, because we're still breathing. We're still breathing. So there's still time for us to do something. And that has definitely empowered me. I think I've just empowered myself to keep going and just doing what I'm doing and getting better at what I'm doing.
Yeah, I would agree. I was feeling very low from the events of today and the weather. I definitely had a good cry earlier. You know, April's the month of showers and my tears feel it. But I'm definitely leaving this with like a smile on my face. I feel like that every time we chat, I do. But it's like true, because there's something about your call to action for people and the like the rise up and shine your light thing that really like gives me strength to be like, yeah, I can get up and do this over and over again. And we are here to learn and change, which is the only constant in the world right now. And like that, I think, is grounding me. So thanks, Oogie.
You're welcome.
Do you want to share any fun plugs you have?
Yes. I have a YouTube channel. I technically have three, but the This one is called Theater Talk, where I interview Native theater makers with a set of questions. Everybody gets asked the same questions, but everybody's story is different. It's called Theater Talk with Oogie. It's on YouTube. And I also just recently made a movie called Just Keep Living, which is about my experience as a Meskwaki actor dealing with grief and depression. And I've heard that it's not easy to watch, but it's my truth. And if you can just get to the third act, I promise it'll be worth it.
Where can people watch this movie?
On YouTube. Okay. At my Oogie Push channel, OOGIEPUSH. And I am currently working on the sequel.
Look forward to that. I will be watching this immediately. Oogie, can we write a kid's book together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
Thanks again for tuning in. We hope that you will join us on the first and third Friday of the month for each new episode. To stay up to date on episodes, you can subscribe on the platform you're currently listening to. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at TCP Theater Podcast, and we really appreciate your reviews, comments, or questions. You can reach us via email at tcptheaterpodcast@gmail.com or through any of our social medias. Thank you for listening to The Collective Perspective, Reclaiming and Reshaping Theater with
Alex Reed,
Anna Sophia Villanueva,
Cambria Carrera,
Lilia Hushman,
Lupika Shah,
Oogie Push,
Saimuk Dadlong Husai Vongsai,
Sequoia Hawk,
Shalana Watch,
Sophie Payton,
Tia Jemison,
Vahishta Vafadari.